Pat, we recently saw Marvel's Disney's Avengers, Age of Ultron, The Rise of Palpatine. This is our non-spoiler portion of the review. Would you recommend it?
No.
I would.
Would you?
Find out why next on our spoiler instant reaction to The Rise of Skywalker. Coming out way after everybody else's hot takes on
hot,
The Rise
hot,
of Skywalker. So we're just going to go full spoilers. If you haven't seen it, don't listen to it.
I'm sure everybody's seen it by now.
But I'm sure most of the world's seen it by now. So we're just going to talk about it openly and whatever. This to me mostly felt like, it felt like two movies. It felt like episode 8 and 9 smashed together. And it also felt like a sequel to a movie that was never released.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was like, wait a minute, what is this?
What is going on?
What is going on? It moves very, very fast. They shoved a lot into a very short amount of time. The result of that is a lot of moments didn't have a chance to breathe. It's very evident that they had a big plans for Carrie Fisher, which they said they did, and she died. So they took random fucking dialogue
and
from deleted scenes and built
dialogue
bullshit scenes around them. It doesn't play. It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't make sense.
It actually doesn't even look. Mm-mm. She looks like she's not in this. I mean, obviously, she's not in the same room, but she looks like she's not with these people at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, just like the tone of her clothes and skin looks like she's in a different place completely.
Yeah, it's all Force Awakens stuff.
Yeah, it's from them. Yeah, I understand that. And it looks like it.
I think there was more between her and Han. I think most of the dialogue, like, about being optimistic, a lot of it sounds like she's talking to Han.
Yeah.
And so they repurposed it to where she'd be talking to Rey. And I think there were scenes between her and Rey that were cut from The Force Awakens, because by the end of The Force Awakens, they're like, why do they have such a close relationship?
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense, but they cut all that out. So they patchworked all of that to fit her back in.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I shit on like how it looks, and I think they did it respectfully.
As much as they could. You got to say goodbye to that character.
Yeah.
And you got to have her in it.
Yeah.
And you can't just kill her off screen and be like, oh, between these movies, Leia died. You couldn't do that.
No.
And they tried to do it the best they could. And that's not really their failure. It's just they were dealt a bad hand.
Yeah.
Because she unexpectedly passed away.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Here's what I would say, and this is going to be probably controversial.
Okay.
I think all told, Rian Johnson's probably a better writer, better director than J.J. Abrams. I know J.J. is getting a lot of heat for this movie, but I think J.J. gets the tone and the feel of Star Wars more than Rian Johnson.
He understands the world, because he's a fan.
I think he understands the monsters, the creatures. I think he's interested more in what most people are interested in.
Yeah.
He's not trying to do something meta. He's not trying to do a deconstruction of Star Wars, which I think is ill-conceived. I'm all for creative freedom. I'm all for taking chances. I don't want rehash. But I don't think that you... I think you can be faithful. You have to recognize what it is you're making legacy sequels. So I think what they should have done was they should have more or less delivered to us the classic characters as we expected them to be. And if you want to explore new ideas and push new boundaries, you do that through your new characters, so that then when you're telling a new story, and those characters actually have character development.
Yeah.
And instead, you've dismantled the old characters.
Yeah, took them apart.
Did nothing with the new characters, because when this movie, when Chewie and Finn and Poe and R2-D2 and C-3PO and BB-8 are flying around the Millennium Falcon, it feels right. Because, like, this is what the second movie should have been. They should have been together. It should have been about the ensemble, because these actors are good actors and they have good chemistry together. But we've never seen them on screen together.
No, yeah. Like, yeah, we're in the third movie, and half the time through all these series, or more than half the time, they're off doing their own thing.
Yeah, because Poe's basically not in Force Awakens.
Yeah, yeah, he disappears early on and then reappears towards the end. And then Poe's sitting on the rebel ship by himself for most of it while Rey's off training and Finn is having his pointless mission.
And there's no reason, nothing against Rose or the actress or whatever, but there's no reason why, if you're going to do the Canto Bite shit, there's no reason why that couldn't have been Poe and Finn.
Yeah.
Because they have a really good chemistry. Those two guys have chemistry. And I have a feeling we're going to get a spinoff movie with them. But
probably,
or a TV show, because I think we're going to get I think we're getting a Poe Dameron TV show.
Okay.
Which is why they're like, by him running Spice and all that sort of shit.
We're in the third film and we're starting to get some backstory on
Which is fucked up.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem with this movie is not this movie, it's the other two movies.
Yeah.
Which is you had J.J. Abrams doing his mystery box shit when he knew he wasn't going to do the second. You're going to have three different writers and three different directors.
Don't do mystery box shit if you're going to do that.
And somebody else is going to take it over, which Rian Johnson wasn't interested in, so he scrapped all of that shit and basically rebooted it, and then they brought him back in because of how divisive The Last Jedi is, and so now
he has to fix
your course correcting in the climax of the trilogy.
Yeah.
And now you're doing your character development?
Like, we should know these characters by now.
Would it have hurt this franchise if the training sequence, which I thought was well done but too fast, if the training sequences we saw in this one was just in the second movie? If Luke had just trained her like a real Jedi?
Yeah.
Instead of being a miserable asshole, what would the problem have been?
There would have been no problem because that's what that's the format we got from the first trilogy. Luke got trained in the second movie.
Yeah, but rather than hitting like beat for beat for beat, it's Palpatine again, it's the Death Star again. Rather than doing that type of fan service and look, there's Neo Nub and look, there's this character, which some of that's all right.
Yeah.
But they did like the shoddy fan service instead of actually just what I think fans really wanted, which is
story and development. And
we
want to
see Luke as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Period. That's it. We got him in this for a little bit, which is like, why wasn't he just that?
Yeah. We don't want him to be a miserable asshole that's a
Why wasn't Luke the lead protagonist of The Force Awakens? And with his Jedi apprentices, Kylo Ren has already turned on them. Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren kill all of Luke's apprentices, and Luke has to sacrifice himself to save the last apprentice, which is Rey. So she's already received some training.
Yeah.
So then your next movie is The Last Jedi, because she's already now been established as The Last Jedi. Luke has become one with the Force. The second movie, you kill Han off, because Kylo Ren is making the full turn. So then you kill him off. So then there... And then now we get to this movie. You know, why couldn't the Sith dagger or the Wayfinder been the MacGuffin for your second movie?
Yeah, you're not really changing most of the story. You're just moving parts.
It's
of
the structure.
Story. Yeah, it's kind of every piece is like all over the place.
There is a jigsaw puzzle of a trilogy that I think could have been really good.
And they just put them all in the wrong spots.
And it's all in there. And some of it's even in some of the ideas I think Rian Johnson had. I think he had some good ideas, which we talked about in our review, which is like, some of this is like really good, but it's executed poorly or it's improperly ordered. And so it doesn't have the emotional... By the end, when Rey takes up the Skywalker name and is looking at the binary sunsets, it doesn't have the punch that it should have. Because I think Rey had so much potential to be a great character.
Yeah.
And instead, because they just did not develop her properly, because they told her story out of order, I don't feel as much for her.
Or anyone, really.
Or anyone. The only character I really kind of cared about was Ben Solo. And I don't care about him as much as I should.
No.
But I do think that when he actually becomes Ben Solo again... First of all, Adam Driver's just a really good actor.
He is, absolutely.
He completely changes his mannerisms, and we essentially see the Jedi he would have been. And he's got a lot of Luke's maneuvers from the other movies, and he's got a lot of Han's maneuvers, the shooting without looking, when she throws him a lightsaber through the Force, and he does the Han shrug from Return of the Jedi. He is a Skywalker and a Solo again.
Combination of the two,
and it's just subtle, but it's very well done, and then it's like, and then they kill him off.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of like,
okay.
Okay.
So we get that.
Kylo Ren is the only character I think they
figured out and knew what to do with.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think they got the closest with him to where it's like, oh, like his story kind of makes sense. It feels a little rushed in some places.
It does.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And by the time you get to the end and looking back, like retrospectively, you understand like why he act like people always like hash on him. He's just an angry emo kid. It's because he's tortured between wanting to be good, but feeling that he has to be on the dark side because of his legacy of Vader and stuff like that.
And he felt abandoned by his parents, and he felt betrayed by his mentor. And you could have kept all those elements in there, and Luke could have just explained that shit to her as a Force ghost in the second movie of, like, I tried to kill him in a moment of weakness, and I failed, and blah, 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 blah. And you could have had the estrangement between him and Han. The bottom line is you needed Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker
on the screen together.
On the screen together, even if it's just to have a reconciliation in the first movie. And then Luke has to face his past, and he's struck down by Kylo Ren, and that's how Kylo becomes a Sith Lord, because he struck down his master, and he's receiving shadow instructions from a figure. You could have just taken Snoke straight the fuck out of it. It could just should have been Palpatine the whole time.
Yeah, the whole Snoke thing just makes no sense in the grand scheme of the whole thing. It's like, why? What was the point of Snoke? There's no point.
I understand the Emperor imitating Vader's voice.
Yeah.
Which we called way back in the day. Well, obviously it's not him. It's got to probably be the Emperor or the Dark Side or Darth Plagueis or something. Because that makes sense, right? Like, he wants to connect to his grandfather so bad. So he's got this voice that's telling him to do all this terrible stuff. And it's a trick. It's a Dark Side trick. Got it. It makes sense.
Plausible, but
why make a clone of who or what or that's all mangled? It just doesn't make any sense.
And then why do you have a jar full of them?
Right. Well, because they're showing you he's a clone, not a real person. Yeah. Or even if you're like, it's a failed clone of the Emperor, you could at least, like, they've been trying to put his essence into these clones, which is why he's so frail and weak, and he has dark side powers, but not really, and he's kind of, you know, it takes it out of him because he's like a failed transfer of Palpatine.
Palpatine
needs
source.
His own bloodline
to
transfer into or some shit. Okay, give us something. But once again, you could develop that had you, Disney, from the very onset, had one fucking story they wanted to tell, taken the time to tell it, and not produced 5 movies in 4 years.
Yeah.
They just, they
got so focused, they got so antsy, like, we got Star Wars, and they just rushed it.
Yeah, my significant other, who does not hate Star Wars, volunteered herself to go see this with me at midnight.
Okay.
She liked it.
Oh.
But what she said was, because she has not seen any of the new movies and does not like the old ones, and just said, I liked it. Because I don't think I needed to see any of the other movies for this to make sense, because it just felt like it was a kind of a standalone thing.
Shit.
And I'm like, it was.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it pretty much was. Like, it just starts, and it's just like, it's at least 2 movies in one.
Yeah.
Because the first half of it is just rushed. It's just, we're here, we're here, we're here, we're this planet, we're that planet, we're light speed, we're doing this, we're doing that, we need this MacGuffin, we need that MacGuffin, we gotta do this, we gotta wipe these memories, we gotta do this, we gotta do that.
Yeah, because he's playing catch up on making sense of a trilogy that doesn't make sense.
He's making the second movie he would have made had he made it, then the third movie.
At the same time. While watching simultaneously.
So it made me just go, why did they just go, Rian Johnson, you're going to write these movies with Lawrence Kasdan, whoever the fuck.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to rein you in, and that, so you just constantly shit all over Star Wars. And JJ, you get the aesthetic, you get the feel. You know, you like the practical puppets and he's very good at replicating the feel of Star Wars.
The world, yeah.
Yeah. So you direct this shit. Let's get somebody else to write it. And then what's the story we want to tell?
Yeah.
Because I think,
let's tell one story over 3 films.
Yes.
That connect to 6 other films.
Yes.
That came before.
Right. Because I think that if you would have done it that way, you keep the legacy characters intact, and you push the boundaries creatively with your new characters who are asking different questions, then you're tapping into the differences between generations. Literally, baby boomers and millennials. You have baby boomer Star Wars and millennial Star Wars. And they're asking different questions. I think the First Order should have been more of a rebellion. And what I really think it should have been is, what if the New Republic failed to represent everybody? And so what if the outer systems
turned to
a neo-fascist group that was like, basically, you had it better under the Empire.
Yeah, because the New Republic is underfunded and undermanned, so they can't protect the outer systems.
They're rebuilding.
Yeah.
And all of their attention is on the wealthier core systems and the wealthier trading partners. And I'm not saying you have to get prequel bogged down in all of that, but just references to that.
Yeah. So, for like
the First Order is appealing to marginalized people.
Yeah. And you have
and recruiting them and building an army.
Yeah. And you need to throw in like crime elements, like the crime, like the syndicates and stuff like that, like the huts and stuff like that. They're ravaging the outer planets because they know that the New Republic can't protect these systems.
Right.
So that these systems have to turn to somebody else to protect them.
That's exactly right. And then the twist could be maybe in the second movie that this isn't just some militia force of disenfranchised weirdos and
old Imperials.
They have old Imperial tech.
Yeah.
And they have a Star Destroyer and they have a fleet of ships, you know, there could be like
just a reversal of
that's correct.
The original trilogy.
Yeah. And so what if at the end of The Force Awakens, you have a fleet, an armada of Star Destroyers? They're old, but they're operational, and that are going to destroy Coruscant. And like, oh shit, we're not. And what if Leia is a general and a senator who's trying to convince the Senate that the First Order is not just a fringe group out there on the edges?
They're a real threat.
They're a threat to the whole system, and we need to be representing everybody because that's what she'd be advocating for. Luke, who doesn't want to be involved in the politics because he doesn't want to make the same mistakes as
the old Jedi.
The old Jedi is on some island somewhere with his apprentices, being a little monk boy, teaching a new generation of Jedi. He's already lost Kylo Ren. Well, they're distracted trying to... Poe Dameron, who's a pilot and a spy, has found a stormtrooper defector who has sensitive information that the rebellion needs. But they need to give this guy amnesty and get him out of being a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
So they go reach out to Luke. Luke and a handful of his most advanced Jedi apprentices, including his newest and youngest one, which is this Rey character, you know, team up with Han. Luke and Han are estranged because of Ben, right?
Yeah.
So then we have to have that relationship dynamic. They're all back on the Falcon. They have to go. That's how you introduce Finn. That's how you introduce the relationship between Finn and Poe, right?
Yeah.
That's how you introduce the Captain Phasma character, because now Finn has a rival that actually means something, because she's the one that took him when he was a kid and conscripted him to be part of this army, and now they see him as a traitor. So you could develop that over the movies. Han and
Luke
have to reconcile at some point in the film. Luke has to face the mistakes of his past. And one group has to fight off this armada, while Luke has to confront Kylo Ren, who, while Coruscant's under attack, Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren, who do fuck all in this series, go because Ben knows where the Jedi Temple is, and the Knights of Ren do that, and they kill all of the apprentices, mirroring Vader, killing all of the younglings, right?
Yeah.
And so then Luke and his advanced students go back, the Knights of Ren kill all of those fucking people, and Luke has... everything he's built over 30 years has now come crumbling down, and he has to sacrifice himself to save the last Jedi, which is Rey.
Yeah.
And you could have Rey she's there, but she has great power, but she has no control over it. And Luke is like kind of suspect of his ability to train her because she reminds him of Ben. And so he's like, we're going to have whatever. But it turns out like, there's nobody left, so he has to turn to her, and he has to whatever. And then we could explore why she's so powerful, and then have that training sequence from this movie
in the next
second
movie,
but it's Luke doing it, or Luke and Leia, and let's explore Leia's force training
in an
earlier movie, which makes sense.
Yeah, we get Leia revealing that she was trained as a Jedi, but as soon as she finished, stopped. Yeah, like, why? I don't understand why she stopped.
She stopped because she had a
vision.
Just like Luke had a vision of his friends dying.
Yeah.
She had a vision that if she continued down the path, that her son would die.
The son died anyway. She just misinterpreted the vision.
Yeah, but so did Luke.
Yeah, it's true.
So did Anakin. That's the thing, is prophecies
change.
Not only do they change, but they're contingent on you interpreting them, right? Anakin saw Padme dying. And so by him trying to prevent it, he made it happen.
Yeah.
Her death would not have happened. He ended up being the cause of her death. The things he was seeing were in a direct response of what his actions are going to be based on what he was seeing.
Yeah.
And that's just like an old Greek mythology twist, right? It's like the more you try to undo a prophecy, the more it comes to pass.
Yeah.
So that played for me, but like, okay, you could explore some of that and that backstory in the second movie. And then you add a little gray to Luke's character and whatever. And that's fine, because you did that same shit with Obi-Wan, where, well, it was true from a certain point of view. And you have to kill your father. I don't want to kill my dad. And,
well, you kind of do.
How could you ask me to do that, right? And so, you know, and it kind of makes sense.
It's like, I kind of did it halfway for you. I cut his legs off for you. And
yeah, you know. And
I set him on fire, so you just need to, you know, finish the job for me.
But there's ways that you could take these story elements, and if you had a clear direction, you could have told a satisfying trilogy.
An overarching story for over three stories or three movies.
And then you could explore.
Instead of three different stories over three movies.
Yeah, you could explore. Kylo Ren's character arc could have been like, he's a slave to the past, and so then he's like, fuck it, let the past die.
Yeah.
And what if he killed Palpatine in the second movie? A weakened returning Palpatine instead of Snoke, and he kills Palpatine, and now he's the Supreme Leader. Ultimately, the whole point was to redeem him at some point, which is what they do in this movie. So I don't have a problem with anything in particular in this movie. I just wish it had been in the first,
connects to everything else.
And rather than just trying to cram it into one.
Yeah.
That way I wanted to feel more than I did. The stuff that got me, I thought the Chewie death fake out was pointless, because you immediately show that he's still alive. Yeah. If you had just not done that and then waited until she senses him alive, then we're good.
Yeah. I
let me think he's actually dead.
Yeah. There was
or
a lot
don't
of,
do it.
There was a lot of stuff that I felt was kind of obvious or tried to be trickery, but it just didn't play well in this movie.
Yeah.
There was a lot of obvious things that were just going to happen. Like, it was obvious when Rey, quote unquote, dies, and then Ben comes and gives. I was like, as soon as she's laying there, and I'm like, okay, Ben's just gonna climb out and then give his life force to her.
Well, he has to die.
Yeah,
because he killed. I mean, realistically,
he's not gonna fit back into the Republic.
Yeah. He's like Vader. He has to die.
Yeah.
And the two things that I did like is, I thought Chewie's reaction to Leia's death, that got me.
Yeah, finally,
because that's what he should have done. When Han died, well, she kind of did when Han died. He freaked out.
Yeah.
But this movie felt like a market correction.
Yeah.
Like, here's all the shit we fucked up in the first and second movie. We're going to get right this time.
Oh, not even the first. We're talking about first movie, Star Wars.
Yeah, they gave him the medal.
I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
After all this time.
Yeah, but it was a lot of that sort of shit. We're going to clean this up.
Yeah.
But yeah, Han dies, he never addresses Leia.
Yeah.
It made no sense. Like, it stuck out to me the first time I saw The Force Awakens.
He just walks right past her.
It's not right.
No.
And so, but his reaction here makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And for a long time, he's just forlorn. Because the other thing, the impact of that is Luke's gone, Han's gone, all of his old friends are gone except for Lando.
Yeah.
All of his closest friends are gone. And so I think it's not just the loss of Leia, but he has nobody.
His surrogate family, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these movies don't recognize Itchy or Lumpy or Mala.
Yeah.
That got me.
I would have gotten you if Lumpy just came running out of nowhere.
Lumpy would be 50 years old by now, wouldn't he? Or 500 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
Chewbacca's just great.
Yeah.
But it's the scenes with them on the ship with Chewbacca, and it's like, you're cheating. Well, of course you're good at this. You're 250 years old. I'm going, well, this is fucking Star Wars. Where the fuck is this?
Yeah. You finally get Star Wars by your third movie.
It just didn't make – it just made me want a different second movie. Like, let's take the best of all of this and make better movies. Why couldn't you just do this? Why did you do it this way?
It just they don't connect for me.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating because it's there.
Actually,
you've got it, but you just did it in the wrong order.
Yeah. I wanted to say one thing when the opening crawl came open.
I think this is the worst opening
crawl.
Was
that the blandest, generic opening crawl ever?
Yeah. It started with a good line, which is the dead speak, which is very pulpy.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
And then it is just nothing after that.
Yeah,
and I was like,
oh, what?
And it said, meanwhile.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What are you doing?
Oh, no, they've always kind of done meanwhile.
I know, but it just...
It was not, it was always it was always real peppery.
Yeah.
And it was not.
It was just generic, bland, nothing.
I made that mental note. I was like, that's the worst. Maybe.
The worst.
I don't know. The Attack of the Clones was real bad.
But it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the least memorable for sure.
And that's how you're opening up your movie.
I didn't like the opening crawl. I thought the first hour of this, maybe first 40 minutes of it, though, I was pretty engaged. And I was like, because by this point, we've had the initial reaction, which is the people who saw it early or were in love with it. And then the next group of people hated it. And the Rotten Tomatoes score went into the toilet and the critics savaged it. And then now we're on the trend where now the defenders of it are coming out and going, I thought it was satisfying. It's mediocre. It's got great stuff in it. Blah, 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 blah. So if we live through the hype cycle a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was sort of like neutral going into it. And I just wanted to have an honest response to it for myself, which is I highly enjoyed the first half to maybe – I highly enjoyed the first half. I kind of enjoyed the middle. And then I thought the ending just kind of went cartoony.
And it just felt like a rehash of Return of the Jedi. A lot of it.
Yeah. But like, what else are you going to do? If you're going to put Palpatine back in it, first of all, Ian McDiarmid is amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
He's basically just a cartoon villain, but he does such a good job. And they didn't do the prequel things where he's like kind of campy. He's not campy in this. He's just evil.
Yeah, I agree with that. Great. Yeah. Kind of return of the real emperor.
Yeah, and they didn't make his face look all fucking weird. He just looked like a monster.
It didn't look like his face was stung by 1,000 bees and swollen.
Yeah, he just looked like the emperor.
He just looked like an old, bitter old man.
Yeah, and I thought the arena full of Sith worshiping, cultist chanting. That was
creepy.
This would have been a really great third movie climax if the first half of this movie had been the second movie. I just can't get over that.
Yeah. Because your build up to it is just too quick.
I know it's super divisive, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like it, and I know there are a lot of people who don't like traditional Star Wars love what Rian Johnson did. I think he fucked it up. I think it's a misfire. I think The Last Jedi is a fuck up. I think it's a misfire. I think it's a guy who is trying to be too clever.
Yeah, for a he was trying to be too clever for a trilogy of movies where he's coming into the second movie.
On the back end of two other trilogies.
Yeah.
It's like, too late.
If you gave him his own singular story that was off, that had no connection to this series.
Yeah, it'd have to be outside of the main mythology.
Yeah, though. He could have done something, but.
Yeah, I think he could have done something about bounty hunters or whatever the fuck. I think the thing that people always make the mistake of, even George Lucas himself, is in the original trilogy, the mythology, the politics, the history, the Clone Wars, all this sort of shit, it was all set dressing.
Yeah.
It was all background to a very modernist, maybe even pre-modern fairy tale with the twist of they talk like modern people. So Leia's a princess, but she's not really a damsel in distress because she's like, somebody's got to get us out of here. And she's feisty and she's smarter than the two guys who are supposed to be rescuing her. Luke is your archetypal hero, except for the fact that he like kind of sucks. Han is supposed to be your dashing guy, but he's a scoundrel.
He
doesn't care. So he's supposed to be your swashbuckling hero, but he's also a buffoon. He sees himself as the swashbuckling guy, but he's constantly getting caught with his pants down and, you know, getting chased by stormtroopers. He's constantly getting in over his head. So it's like all of these archetypes that you think you know, but with a little bit of a modern twist to them. But at the end of the day, it's a black and white world. And it's the Joseph Campbell, Hero of a Thousand Faces journey and character development. That's what Star Wars is. To do a meta commentary on why baby boomers post-imperial ideology is bullshit and how everything's gray and there is no good and there is no evil, blah, 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 seven movies deep is a stupid, arrogant, hubris decision. That you think you're going to rewrite the entire fucking 40-year lore of Star Wars
in one movie
because you're so fucking clever?
Yeah.
Kiss my ass, Rian Johnson. I think he's a great director. Knives Out's one of my favorite movies of the year. I think he made a really fucking terrible Star Wars movie. I think he damaged the property. And I think Disney fucked up by letting a guy come in and go and
just and do whatever not even he wants.
He was writing and starting to do pre-production on that movie before The Force Awakens was even out. All he had was one of the early drafts of the movie, which The Force Awakens ended up being completely different.
So you had no clue what
you can't develop. You can't have different people developing sequels before the original is even done.
If you do, have them included in the production of the post movie.
What would have hurt if they had just taken 3 years, 4 years between these movies?
Not instead of like 2 years or yeah, a year
if
or
anything,
two.
Yeah, if anything, it now feels more like an event, and they're going to continue to gross a lot of money.
Yeah, because
instead we have these, and then the fucking Han Solo and Rogue One, and I don't know about how they got retconned that Rogue One is some great movie, one of the all-time great Star Wars movies. I've seen all these lists with Rogue One is one of the greatest Star Wars movies ever made. It's fucking boring as shit.
It's a story we didn't even need.
It's the best looking.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
It looks fucking amazing. Yeah, but to me it's like a boring train wreck of a film. All of these have had commendable aspects to them. J.J. Abrams nails the ensemble part of it and the feel of it and the characters' interaction and what the world should be like of Star Wars. I think he's got the imagination for it that Rian Johnson doesn't. It's just a fucking island full of sad, weird fish nuns. Yeah. It's the best. And bad your mama jokes. Bad fucking comedy and throwing lightsabers.
Yeah.
And bullshit.
Like, what?
Fucking up Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, you end up... Force Awakens with like the cliffhanger of the decade of like, what's Luke going to do with this lightsaber?
Fuck all.
And then the immediate response to that, the five second opening, he just tosses and says, fuck it, get out of here.
Which is the most hardcore retcon in Rise of Skywalker, where he steps, I think this is a fuck you to Rian Johnson.
Probably, yeah.
He steps out of the flaming wreckage of Kylo Ren's vehicle. Because if you remember, Kylo Ren talks about
let the past die.
You know, kill it if you have to. We burn it all down.
Yeah.
Right? Which is Rian Johnson's fuck you to Star Wars and fuck you, burn
it all down.
To J.J. Abrams' fan service tendencies. So J.J. Abrams shows up. He's like, okay, I'm going to take the burning wreckage of your little character, have the real Luke Skywalker emerge from it, catch the lightsaber, and be like, this is no way to treat a Jedi's weapon. Which is just the, like, yeah, you fucked up.
The instant we see Luke Skywalker, he's completely different from the last time we saw
him. That's correct. And she's like, but you, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yep, I was totally
I was wrong. My bad.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, why didn't we get this Luke while he was still alive? Also, he looked awful as a Force ghost.
Yeah. Why was his hair so much longer than it was in the...
But even, like, I would have just preferred they try to replicate the way they did with Obi-Wan, which is, like, a dude with a light around him. Yeah. It just looked off. It didn't even look as good as Yoda from The Last Jedi.
Yeah, because they...
They're like, shit.
Yeah, it looked different than Yoda.
Yeah. And then, so I, you know...
I was kind of actually hoping to see, like, a few more Force ghosts. Like, maybe Yoda appearing or something like that.
I don't know if we had time.
No.
And I think having the voice.
Well, if we got the correct second movie.
That's correct. Having Ewan McGregor, having Hayden Christensen, having Alec Guinness's voice, having fucking.
Samuel L. Jackson doing it, and even Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's who I was reaching for. Liam Neeson's voice. I'm glad they didn't show all of them.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we didn't see them literally possess her. Which I thought was going to happen.
Yeah,
just kind of did.
But
yeah.
They're with her.
The line of, I am all of the Jedi, is bullshit.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened, and I'm coming to a close in my thoughts. I think my problem with this is, I think, basically Disney was like, we can make these movies for 50 years. If we focus too much on the old characters, that's all people are going to want. So we've got to kill them off. We got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we got to make it, but they didn't make the story about these new characters either. And then there's such a vicious troll reaction to the character of Rey, which is partially misogyny and stupidity.
True.
And is also partially just they didn't develop her very well.
Because, yeah, they left too much up in the air by Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And then Rian Johnson did shit, nothing with it. And he's like, oh, we have this mystery. Well, it's nothing.
You're nobody.
Yeah.
Okay, and, well, why is she so powerful?
Yeah.
And then she wasn't trained at all because Luke hates the Force. It was just fucked up.
Yeah.
So then we have to have, like, every Jedi who's ever lived, including some of the ones from the cartoons. They got the cartoon voices of some of them from the Clone Wars series to come back. You'd be like, everyone who's ever played a Jedi ever, their voices in that last scene are saying, we're behind you. We're with you, Rey. We're with you, Rey. And to me, it felt very much like, even my significant other picked up on this, was it felt very much like Disney basically being like, you have to like this character now. All of your favorite Jedi like her. They all think she's the best.
Yeah.
You have to think she's the best too. I want to think she's the best, but you got to show me her becoming the best. First time we've ever really seen her struggle is in this movie.
Yeah, it's
true. The first time she doesn't beat Kylo Ren. It's the first time she struggles to control the Force. This should have been the second movie.
She beats Kylo Ren.
She beats him
the first movie.
No, I think she should have, because
he was injured.
Bolt. Chewbacca shot him in the chest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was conflicted, and he wasn't trying to kill her. And that's the other thing. He was trying to get her to turn, and he wanted the lightsaber back. And he was more perplexed by her, and he's fucking bleeding out into the snow.
That's true.
And so she's a natural prodigy, and she's at full strength. Okay, great. This is where we get the reveal that, oh, the Force is strong with her. Yeah. Okay, I can buy that. He should have kicked her ass a second time, period. Somebody should have kicked her fucking ass. We should have seen her struggle. We should have seen her
and
face adversity, and, which we do in this movie.
It would be more the driving force of her wanting to be trained better. Because she got her ass kicked. It doesn't come simple to her.
Well, I'm not going to rewrite it. But if she had been the last Jedi.
That'll be a later episode after Jason sees this the second time. And he's like,
here's the thing is, I have already
rewritten
them. But I've changed some stuff in them. And I have to think, all I have to do is think about what the third movie would be in my trilogy. And I probably will at some point record that. Will it be released?
A trilogy of episodes. Jason's episode 7.
But when we mentioned the Last Jedi review, the feedback I got was, well, will you release what you wrote? And I was like, no. But now I think, why not? I might as well. It's better than this shit.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, it's some of it is, once again, like, okay, what if we took what they did here and just moved it around a little bit? I think you could get a good story. The thing that doesn't make sense to me, and even my significant other pointed it out, he says, and this is true to the lore, right? You strike me down.
Now become more powerful.
Yeah, basically, like the way the Sith operators, there was a master and an apprentice. They had the rule of two, and it can only be two at a time, and the one has to betray and kill the other to take their place, to be the supreme Sith.
Yeah.
Right? So you strike me down in anger, and then I get to live through you, and all of the Sith will live through you, and I'll get to rule. I'll get out of this decaying body. It's never explained how I put it back together again, except for they repeated this thing from Revenge of the Sith, which is the dark side of the Force gives power that some might find unnatural.
Taboo.
Yeah, which is like one of the best lines of the prequels. Yeah.
And it also explains why he has children.
Yes.
It's very unnatural.
If he was responsible for the Immaculate Conception of Anakin Skywalker, and Rey is his granddaughter, and Ben is Vader's granddaughter, are they cousins?
Who? Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
so
oh, geez.
So incest has now entered Star Wars, which it already had with Luke and Leia.
Well, that's true. Right, I guess we're cool with it now. Anyways,
she kills him. If you kill me, I'll possess you. She kills him. Are we to believe that
she has all the Jedi and all the Sith in her? Did she balance the Force into one person?
Or because her motivation for killing him changed. It wasn't out of revenge for her parents. It was to defend the rebellion, the fleet.
Well, because that would make sense, because the Jedi doesn't attack out of anger. They attack out of defense.
So by choosing to defend the fleet and not kill out of anger, she chose the path of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Which gave her the power to kill him.
Yeah.
With all of the
Jedi
behind her.
Yeah.
How do two lightsabers block force lightning that brings down a fleet of ships? He's so powerful, he can bring ships out of the sky.
Yeah.
And he's not at full power, because it's taking him forever to bring them down. And he's just got enough juice. How does she block it with two lightsabers? Have we ever seen a lightsaber block? I guess Mace Windu did.
Mace Windu did it, yeah.
But I always thought that was like a trick. That never made fucking sense to me in the prequels. Was he always a monster? That was just his true form?
I'm so weak.
Right. It seemed like a trick, right?
Yeah.
Was he allowing himself to be deformed to garner the sympathy from Anakin, or was that his true form all along? Because he's been alive forever. If he's an apprentice of Dark Plagueis, he's not really a middle-aged guy.
That's a good question. Maybe, he might have been deformed.
No, these fucking things are answered.
No.
Also, What are the chances that Luke's house is still standing there from 40 years ago?
Or uninhabited?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a planet of scavengers. Somebody's going to just move in.
Yeah, the Jawas didn't strip that thing. Wasn't it burnt?
Yeah, it was burnt. The stormtroopers, like... Or no, was it just the...
No, the place was on fire, I think.
That's true.
I think they burned the bodies, but they burned the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, a sandstorm came and
put
the fire out.
It was just a way of, like... Now I guess she's going to live like Obi-Wan on Tatooine until the Force needs her again.
Makes weird. And then I didn't understand why she buried Luke's and Leia's sabers, and then that didn't make sense to me.
Well, because she's putting them to rest.
No.
You know fuck well that those sabers are coming out of that sand when they make a sequel to this.
I want to know what happened to Luke's saber, because that was Vader's saber. Luke had a green saber. Where's that one at?
Did we ever see it?
We saw it in the flashback in The Last Jedi. Luke had it.
Yeah.
And then, actually, we did see it in the flashback when he was training Leia.
That's right.
So why did he have Leia's saber?
And this here's what's really crazy. Do you know that the color of your lightsaber is what purpose you serve in the Jedi Order?
It deals with, like, strength and stuff like that. I think yellow is, like, a sentinel or something like that.
Which is, like, a combination of a scholar and a warrior.
Yeah, blue's warrior and green's scholar or something like that.
Yeah. Based on the different kyber crystals.
Yeah. And then purple is made up because Samuel L. Jackson liked purple.
Like purple, yeah. And also yellow is, in Star Wars lore, is when you take a red Sith kyber crystal and you purify it, it turns to yellow. So there's the idea is she took his, which doesn't make sense because he threw it in the water.
Or he could have took Palpatine's.
He didn't use his saber in this. The idea is she took Kylo's purified crystal and made a lightsaber out of it. And she's the perfect combination of both a scholar,
yeah,
because she's more of a healer type.
Yeah, and she studied the text, because we see in this movie. But how did she get Kylo's saber? He chucked it into the ocean.
That doesn't make any sense. No. I think it's just weird fan.
I guess, you know, if she's strong enough.
So she could have raised it up.
Strong enough with the Force, you know.
Yeah. I had no problems with the Force abilities in this.
No.
I thought they had either set all of that up, and also it's just fucking magic. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of it was cool. Like, they're battling each other but in different planes of reality. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was different.
Yeah, and then him grabbing the necklace, they did set that up because he got the rain on his hand when it was raining on Octu in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So that's the next implication.
It was set up, yeah, that he can, like, grab things from her plane and
so
it was fine.
I thought all that was fine. The thing that did get me, which I thought, okay, somebody actually really fucking thought that out, was Leia's body. She's dead, but she doesn't become one with the Force until Ben's at peace, because her body's laying in state, and then when he becomes one with the Force, then you see her.
Here's finally.
I thought that's a nice little touch, and it's also, your mom's not going to be able to pass on to the afterlife
until
she knows that he's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was good. I thought the Han Solo stuff was good. But people are going to complain about that.
Because he's not a Force ghost.
Yeah.
But he's just a memory.
He's a memory, and not only that, but Yoda talks about when you're strong with the Force, you perceive time differently. You'll see possibilities and future events.
Past the future.
Old friends, the past, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
So
he sets it up in, was that Empire? Or
Empire,
it,
yeah. It's during the training. Yeah. Because Luke starts seeing the future. And he's like, yes, with the Force, you know, but you have to be careful with the future because it's not yet happening. It's in motion.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to interpret it right. So, like, that's pre-established. And, yeah, it's a memory. He's reliving the guilt of killing his father, and they brought the I know line back, which I thought was well done.
Yeah, because
R2-D2 actually does some shit in this. I thought that was well done. C-3PO is funny again, so that was good. And it's like, I just think there's, like, certain elements of this that J.J. Abrams actually is good at. And then there's other parts that he just kind of sucks at. And
it just doesn't connect with the rest of the movies.
It just doesn't. It's just not of, yeah.
Like, yeah. And we talked about this earlier in this review. I mean, you start developing characters for characters that's been in two other movies so far. Like, you're starting to develop Finn more, and you're starting to develop Poe more. Like, these people should have been established by this point.
Yeah, but then you had to do Holdo, which they shitted on this. Like, let's do the Holdo maneuver. And it's like, that's a million and one. It'll never work again.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that shit. Space, gas, and light speed, whatever the fucks. You're introducing Rose. Once again, nothing against that actress, but it's like...
It was a pointless
character. It was a pointless character.
And I was, and they relegated her to a side character, which in this movie.
Which was in my predictions. Yeah. I was like, she's going to be in about 5 minutes of it. You're going to see her at a console speaking to no one in particular. That's exactly what she did in the movie.
How many love interests does Finn have in the series now?
I don't think he was ever into her. She was into him.
Yeah.
Because I think that he wanted to get Rian Johnson wanted to get away from the Rey and Finn thing. And now they keep bringing up that he's going to tell her something, but he never does. So I'm assuming they're saving that for a sequel or a Finn spinoff, because now he has Force as well.
Somehow.
Well, it's like Leia. Yeah. All of a sudden, she just started developing the Force. I think that's what it's going to be. And I think that also was part of J.J. Abrams' original idea.
That's why he was...
Because you think it's going to be Finn who pulls the lightsaber, and it's Rey. If nothing else, it really should have been Luke.
Yeah.
If you're going to save him to the end, Luke should have saved the day. Sorry.
It would have been more satisfying.
Yes. All of a sudden, zoop, and Luke has his father's lightsaber.
The audience would have gone nuts.
But we get a little tease of a battle between him and Kylo, and then there's a split, and Luke has the high ground, and...
Yeah.
They fucked it up.
They fucked it up. Because people would have gone mad over that.
It would have been awesome.
It would have been awesome, and it would have been something we'd been continually talking about, how great that scene would have been.
If you just had have had creative direction.
Yeah.
The elements for a very good Star Wars trilogy. Fan-pleasing, emotional, everybody's happy, new characters taking the story in brand new horizons and directions, an expansion on the Force mythology, and... really serving, seeing your old legacy characters together again, having adventures.
That's all we wanted.
It was all right there, and they fucked it up.
Yeah.
It's whatever. If you had to give this a score, what would you give it?
I don't know. I'd give it about a 6. It's meh to me.
If you had to rank the new trilogy, how would you rank it?
Altogether, 3?
Yeah.
Maybe a 4? I don't know.
No, but how would you rank the movies?
Movies? Order? Yeah. What order? Probably Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker, and then The Last Jedi. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Because at the time, we started all of this with a Force Awakens review.
Yeah.
So we've now come full circle in 5 years. Our takeaway on The Force Awakens was, this is an okay movie. There's a lot of it. Basically, it's like Star Wars is fun again.
Yeah.
If this feels like an actual Star Wars movie as opposed to the prequels.
It has that world that the originals had.
They did some weird shit that I hope is going to pay off. We'll see where it goes. It was sort of, we left it kind of open-ended. We liked it, but it's going to be dependent on
the whole story.
And they fucked up the second part, and then the third part's like
trying to fix it.
It's an apology to the fans. A lot of it is like,
yeah,
sorry,
whoops. Yeah.
That's Ryan's bad.
That's our bad. And his bad.
Hey, remember that trilogy we said he was going to make? That ain't ever going to happen.
No.
He'll be lucky if he directs an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which then he'll probably, like, Baby Yoda's fucking dead. The Force is a joke. Why make a Star Wars movie if you hate it?
Yeah. Here's a question.
Why dismantle Luke Skywalker?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
He's a character of hope.
Yep. Yeah.
He's the new hope.
Yeah, so... He's not the only hope, though. There's another.
What's your ranking on this one?
Well, my score on this one would be, I think I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. I liked parts of this a lot more than The Force Awakens. I thought this was less fan service.
Because there's less setup that they needed to do. But yeah. I don't know. Just
there was some scenes that got me that I was like, okay. And I know you're just tapping into my nostalgia, and that's fine. And it was emotional, and I get it. It's just kind of fucked up, because it was like, this is just kind of, well, there's a lot in this movie. It's like, this is just kind of what we wanted all along. Why didn't you just give this to us? If you could have done this, why didn't you just do it?
Three films.
Yeah, I was just sort of frustrated. I was like,
that's
you're doing it now, but it's too late.
Yeah, that was my feeling.
It's like a bad relationship where the other person in the relationship actually starts to change.
Yeah, it's
legitimately.
Like, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. You've already broken my trust and broken my heart, and now you're finally becoming the person I wanted. Like, you were gonna be the whole. You could have been this great the whole time. What the fuck's wrong with you? That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, because
why do you do me like this, Star Wars?
Why
you hurt me so?
I feel less enjoyment in this film as it connects to the whole series together.
Yeah,
because it feels like it's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah, like you fucked up. You told some shit, and now we got this, and you're trying to backpedal, and it's too late.
But you know you're gonna get a Poe Dameron TV show. You're not going to get a Finn and Poe spinoff movie. You know Finn's going to become a Jedi.
That's a question I have for you, though. Does Star Wars still play as a TV or a movie or a TV series? Would it be better as
I think,
a longer running series?
I think certain parts of the story would work better as a TV show.
Yeah.
But I think it's ultimately a very over-the-top spectacle space opera. And I think some of that just needs to be on a giant screen with sound. And I think parts of this movie prove that.
Yeah,
they just needed to do it over three movies instead of in one. Or
so maybe from going on, are we going to see like big event films and then small like character development in the miniseries and stuff like that?
Probably, but I think they're going to focus mostly on Disney Plus. Yeah, and I think that Bob Iger's already talked about like we've oversaturated the market. We put too much Star Wars out at the same time. We're taking a break from the movies. They've canceled a bunch of trilogies. I don't think they know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Too much Star Wars too quickly.
Yeah, it's too much. The Star Wars was always an event.
Yeah.
And you just like every if it's one or two movies every year, it's like it's not special anymore. And then I'd give this one a 7 out of 10. I would put this honestly. I think you could just watch The Force Awakens and then just immediately watch this,
skip,
and have a better trilogy. Yeah. Just stop watching this one halfway through, and then pick it up later and watch the back half. And I think you have a better trilogy. I think The Last Jedi is a horrible aberration.
Yeah.
I'm not on the J.J. Abrams hate train. I don't think he's great, but I think that
he's serviceable for a director.
And at the very least, I think he gets some of the elements that make Star Wars special he gets it way better than Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, I think J.J. understands his audience more than most directors.
Yeah, and I think Ryan just needs
except for Star Trek fans. I don't think he understands Star Trek.
He was a Star Wars guy.
He's a Star Wars guy, yeah.
I think Ryan just needs to do original stuff because I think he's really good at it.
Yeah,
I
agree.
He's super talented.
Yeah.
I like him as a writer and director.
He's done really great things on and
when it's
other
his
properties.
Stuff.
When, yeah.
Go if do it, your own stuff.
Yeah, don't
touch this shit.
Don't touch other intellectual properties that you don't aren't not invested in.
Well, apparently he's like a super hardcore Star Wars nerd. It's just
maybe that's the problem. He's too hardcore, and he's trying to be like you said. He's being too clever for everybody else.
He's just trying to be too clever.
Yeah,
I would rank it.
You're kind of having like a tie between Force Awakens and Rise of
Skywalker. They go together.
they fit in a story. Oh my gosh, it's so weird for a trilogy to fit together.
I think what I wanted to see more of what I wanted to see is in this movie than The Force Awakens. I want Obi-Wan Kenobi Luke.
Yeah.
I want you will go to Dagobah and you train with Master, which he's
absolutely he does.
You will take both lightsabers. And it's like just
do that.
It's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Chewie kicks ass and has a character. They're together and they have good chemistry together and Finn and Poe and blah blah blah. So I don't know, man. I guess I was less interested in all the mystery box shit. It just didn't do anything for me.
The reason I put Force Awakens first is because it felt more hopeful as a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was going to go somewhere.
I would agree. Let me put The Force Awakens first. This would be a close second.
Yeah.
They're both about like sevens.
Yeah.
You know, 6.8, 7 out of 10. And then I would put The Last Jedi. I don't remember what we rated on the show, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But it's probably even lower than that.
It's bad.
Every time I reapprise it, it just drops.
It drops.
And drops and drops.
Maybe we should stop thinking about The Last Jedi.
I think all of the internet should stop thinking and talking about The Last Jedi.
It's done. It's buried. Burn it if you have to.
How would you rank? Last thing. Rank the entire franchise super quick off the top of your head.
Fuck.
I'll go.
All right.
Empire Strikes Back, New Hope, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker, Rogue One, Solo, Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Oh wow. Okay.
Attack of the Clones is the worst movie in the franchise.
Yeah, I can agree with that one.
It's just That is dreadful shit.
Yeah, I agree with you on Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars, not calling it A New Hope.
Well, yeah.
Being old school and super nerd.
Yeah.
Push my glasses back. Yeah, Return of the Jedi. I'm going to put Force Awakens, then, yeah, about in the middle road, I put Rise of Skywalker, Rogue One, yeah, The Last Jedi, Solo.
So we flip those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'll put...
You got Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace. Yeah, basically about bottom three are the same, yeah.
So, yeah, so I ranked Solo higher than you.
Yeah.
I think Solo's a really fun movie as long as it wasn't about Han Solo. I think if you just had made it about a different character.
Yeah, it would have been fine. Or, yeah, because...
Actually, I think Solo's a better Anakin Skywalker origin story.
Interesting.
I think if you had flipped that and it's like, this is Anakin's life, and this is how the Jedi find him, because by the time I met him, he was already the best pilot in the galaxy.
Yeah, instead of being an 8-year-old child.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if he had been a slave who was got like into smugglers
spice,
like and pirates
spice runner, yeah.
And a spice runner, and he's the reason why he's so good at being a pilot is the Force, but he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And then Obi-Wan finds him, and he's already old.
Should
so
we
he decides to try to train him.
I know a lot of the hardcore fans know this, but maybe some of the casual viewers don't know this, that spice is drugs in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Which is a ripoff of Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is Star Wars is a ripoff of Dune. It's John Ford, Westerns, Akira Kurosawa, Samurai films, Dune, and 60s anti-Vietnam politics, all within a Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers framework.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Just a ripoff of a ripoff.
It's not that deep. Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah. This is where everybody
the mythology is set dressing. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. You know,
it's just a hero's journey.
Yeah.
And I think Rey is had the potential to be a better hero than the credit she got here. I'm not anti-Rey, never have been. I just wanted them to fucking tell her story and develop it.
Yeah.
So that I could give a shit about her more than I did.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like yeah.
So would you still not recommend it though?
Because it doesn't work in a trilogy. That's my problem.
We don't do thumbs up. We don't do thumbs down. My thumb would be in the middle.
That's I'm just meh. Because
I
like,
don't the instant hate of it. I was like
I don't hate it. I'm with you. There's a lot of great things in it, and there's a lot of fun things in it. I do love the Poe Finn dynamic. They have like a great chemistry. They're like, you know, the kind of back and forth like Luke and Han were.
Yes.
And have that great friendship.
Poe Dameron should have inherited the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, and he should have been a better character.
Oscar Isaacs looks fucking amazing in the captain's seat of the Millennium Falcon.
He does. He fits.
Chewie and Finn
and
the droids. You're just like, this is what we wanted.
This fits.
Yeah. Oh, you fucks. So
it just, yeah, I'm looking at it in a scope of an overarching story, and it doesn't fit, and it feels too little too late.
Yes.
So that's why I'm just kind of like,
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over it. I like The Mandalorian. Go watch that on Disney Plus.
It's good.
Catch us on Disney Plus in 2 weeks. That's our instant reaction to Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.